You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, a show which features conversations with Christians in leadership about the topics that really matter. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing Christian leaders on over 1,000 shows, and so hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and will join us again next week. The art of leadership includes the ability to stop things that are not working and adapt things that are no longer so effective, all in favour of a bright and better future. This week I'm joined by Dr. Keith Foster, who works for a charity that has had to do just that. The charity in question is Urban Saints, the name of the ministry that many knew as Crusaders until its name change in 2007. Keith is head of training and the principal of Westbrook Academy, which takes its name from the Westbrook Centre on the Isle of Wight, which has served as a base for the movement since 1948. Though all training that Keith oversees is online. And as we will see, training youth leaders is a major part of Urban Saints ministry going forward. So I'm looking forward to chatting with Keith about the transition and how new youth leaders are to be empowered going forward. So welcome, Keith, to the Leadership Show.
Oh, it's really good to chat, Andy. Yeah, it's lovely to chat. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, you're relatively new to Urban Saints. I understand that 2024 was a major year in terms of this transition that I mentioned in my introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think, you know, you really captured it brilliantly, of course, is that obviously, you know, we might continue to do the same things, and nostalgia can be an enemy of progress and all sorts of things, as we probably know in our own lives. And so, you know, it's about clinging on to what is good and what is still working. But actually, are we sort of, do we have that sort of corporate maturity to be able to say, hang on a minute, is there a way we can do this better? And so I think absolutely in 2024 was really thinking about what that looked like. The Urban Saints Crusaders, there's a lot, many people fondly still recall it as. But Urban Saints was renowned largely for supporting youth groups, a number of youth groups that could become Urban Saints youth groups, and indeed did over many years. And so over certainly say the last 5+ years or so, I think what the charity has seen, Andy, is a decline in those number of groups that actually were, you know, as far as new groups. And so the number of new groups wasn't as much as those that were actually moving away from that sort of supported model, if you want, that branded model of where an Urban Saints group. And so it reduced from something like over 300 groups to something like 80. So we could see the trajectory of that. And it wasn't that people weren't doing youth work or people didn't appreciate support, but it's a different model. It's a different landscape that we're actually ministering now. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of why we had to pivot, if you see what I mean.
Sure. So Keith, obviously context is key for any leader. I did a bit of research on youth leader because, of course, I used to be involved in editing a Premier Next Gen back in the day. And I was aware then that youth leading statistics had reduced. David Howell has done some brilliant research, gives an annual appraisal of the state of play. And he listed how children, youth work and children's work ministry was had a downward trajectory from 250 leaders trained in 2023, which was 621 in 2011, a 63% fall in numbers. So clearly, there were fewer organisations doing the training. Some theological colleges have stopped their children and youth ministry training. That, of course, is over and against. And David makes the point, the Church of England is working to recruit 30,000 youth workers by 2030. It's got this. So this is all the context, of course, of your work. It's, you don't do your thing in a vacuum. You have a national trend that you're trying to deal with as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important. And I think there's all sorts of inputs into that. Often we can make these conversations quite binary. That was, there's less youth workers or whatever it might be, and so there's less training needed, or there's more youth workers and more training needed. And actually, there's lots of sort of inputs into lots of subjects. To me, it's almost like a prism where there's various sides of the debate that collectively give the fuller picture. And I think what I've seen is lots of organizations, charities, church-based, all sorts of places, wanting a much broader type of minister or worker, in more in the sense of maybe reaching families as well. And so that's really been evolving, we sense, and as we've been looking at the research and the market over the recent years, Andy.
Keith, work in local schools is also key as you look at developing disciples.
Oh, huge. I mean, I'm massively fond of this. And so when I came out of industry, my first ministry role was as a community pastor in a very challenging estate in Portsmouth. But part of that was as there was a local secondary state school and three feeder schools, and I became the chaplain to the state school that never had a chaplain. So absolutely essential. And so it's kind of that seems to be capturing the imagination, the whole expanding, not only working with the young people, but their families, but also chaplaincy, where the young people spend most of their time, which might be connecting in schools and in all various sorts of places. It seems to be the sort of place where, that's certainly where we want to equip. And we're seeing people, yeah, I can see that's where I really need to be. Because not everyone has got an idea I'm going to come to the local youth club on a Friday night. And so yeah, it's a much broader thing.
Sure, and the keen listeners will know that, of course, we had a conversation about chaplaincy in a former role that you were involved with Waverley Abbey Trust a few years back. So that chaplaincy continues to be part of Urban Saints ministry, from what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, and it was really interesting because, obviously we want to stay absolutely have a purist youth ministry training. So we have a contemporary youth ministry training offering, which has been, reasonably well received. But by far the most inquiries, because what we wanted to do was kind of, so let's see what people are looking at. What are they interested in? So we launched two different types of chaplaincy course, predominantly a youth and families chaplaincy. And we saw that as just a sort of slight pivot from purist youth work. And so it's youth and families. And we were finding a lot of youth workers are saying, hey, I'm working with the young people, but I'm really struggling to deal with the families. I need equipping to deal with their families and all their stakeholders in their lives, whether it's the teachers or whatever. So the youth and families chaplaincy is our most popular as we've launched the academy. And the community chaplaincy as well, actually, they're finding, like I did when I first came out of industry, you're dealing with young people and children in the community. So you have to be a bit more of a Swiss Army knife rather than a sort of single focused sort of ministry, which is then reflected, has to be reflected, that Swiss Army knife type of person in the sorts of training that we're offering.
You mentioned that many still fondly remember Crusaders in the past. I understand that obviously urban saints groups, they now have a bit more autonomy from urban saints. Is that how it works?
Yeah, and so in some ways, what we've all, in a sense, not all we've done, but it is really, is we're just changing the way we're supporting the groups that are connected with us. So there's still an aspect. We really wanted to broaden the fact that, how we support Youth Work UK Limited, if you want, as far as, it wasn't just for our branded loyal groups. We wanted to provide services, yes, for those as well, if they want to, access the streams that we now offer. Four main streams, but actually, we wanted this to be an offering that where people could access different aspects of what we do across the UK, in whatever capacity they actually serve and minister to young people and children.
Keith, I'm aware that online training options have grown. Within the Church of England, you have St. Mellitus, who are now the largest training providers of the clergy within the Church of England. And some of those is mixed mode learning, so that people stay where they are and are able to access maybe via a local group or maybe online. You've moved obviously to an online training group. I'm aware that that's especially the case since COVID. A lot of folk are preferring that kind of training. But some would argue we get far more from campus-based work. So how do you respond to those who say, well, training online is all very well, but actually we prefer campus?
Yeah, I mean, if someone prefers campus, I mean, there are costs related to that, and there are certain things that are related. Many people listening to this will have gone through that and have moved away from home or uprooted their families and done that sort of thing. We're finding a lot of people are wanting to insert training into their existing rhythm of life, but also the fact is it might well be called that they are called to their local ministry that they're already doing. It doesn't have to be formal ministers. We're getting a lot of people inquiring who are volunteers in clubs who need to be equipped, whether that's as chaplains or whether that's as youth ministers or etc. And so what we find is with the online is that that gives them that flexibility. I think both are still needed. I think both are really valuable, but it's just that it's what suits me in a sense. What is the best method and vehicle for us, and what we have to do is, I think we do have to work harder if we're delivering online facilitation. But I have to say, I've been really, pleasantly surprised, Andy, at the sort of collegiality and the community that people are creating. We know that that's happening all the time online now, anyway, outside of training. So people are kind of it's culturally now. Increasingly, a deeper way of connecting. So, but yeah, absolutely. Face to face, it's good to be with people with skin on and be there. But we're certainly seeing that it's people are finding it much more convenient, various times of the day or night. People who've got care and responsibilities, people who've got full-time jobs or on shift work, cannot uproot, up sticks, up family. They're finding this is, but it's good to see both still in the marketplace.
Sure. And if you're a volunteer youth worker, of course, that's your option because you've got paid employment somewhere and you're going to tie in with what's possible in a way that you couldn't if it was all campus-based ministry, I guess. So, Keith, you've been entrusted with this task of setting up training. You had a kind of, I guess, you had a sort of a blank sheet of paper, did you, at the start? From the early doors, what was your thinking as you set this up and tried to establish it?
Well, you see, Westbrook Academy is in sense, is new. I mean, it's sort of you look in November 24. But the key thing was, I mean, Urban Saints have been equipping youth leaders for since its foundations, really. And so, but what they really wanted was to do this in a more formal way with more accreditation. There seems to be a demand now where youth workers are working in schools, for example, or engaging in charities that those organisations want something that is credible, that is recognisable within the people they employ. And so we felt we could enhance what was already taking place, build on the legacy, if you want, really, Andy, of Urban Saints training, and actually build more formal routes and partnerships. And so that's what we started to do. It started in November 24. Our first students actually walked, in a sense, walked through the virtual room in April of last year. And we've gone, we are, I can actually say we are really encouraged by the early intakes that we've taken since April 2025.
So the sort of length of time that people sign up for,
So,
and the regular and the regularity, what would that be? Give us some instance.
yeah, absolutely. So effectively, we have what I call premium courses, which are those that are 30 weeks online, term time only, a couple of hours Zoom session per week, term time only. And they're largely for our three premium courses, which are youth and families chaplaincy, community chaplaincy, and contemporary youth ministry. And so, yeah, that's typically 30 weeks. Groups vary between 7 and 12 people. Really interactive facilitation. But we have a number of short courses as well, which vary from literally, 3 or 4 sessions up to 10 sessions, again on Zoom, 2 hours per week. And these range are some fantastic courses, really mining the expertise within the charity, really. So our latest offering, for example, is an additional needs practitioner course. With Mark Arnold delivers that. He's an absolutely fantastic. It's a great course. We're also making all of our courses available as self-paced. So if people cannot access a weekly session, they can go on and still access the same materials, get the same accreditations. Even with our short courses, many of them are endorsed by the Skills and Education Group, who we partner with. So we're really excited about that. So it's a constant growing vision, really. But there's something we believe in the Academy portfolio for everyone who's involved in ministry. And actually not just to young people, but their families and into the community. You know, it's really exciting time.
And are these sort of the sort of courses where you might have essays or exercises that you reflect on afterwards? What kind of work would someone need to do outside of the actual course itself?
Yeah, so the premium courses are the ones that tend to attract the ones with assignments. And so typically you would have a five module course, which is 5 6-week modules, 30 weeks. And at the end of every module, you would have an assignment, a written assignment, or you could produce a video. The written assignments are typically 1500 words. But what we do, because a lot of people we are training who come to us haven't done this sort of thing for quite a while. There was a whole range of ages in our student base, from 21 years old up to 74 years old.
All right.
And so we've really invested in our academic support for the premium courses, which not only identifies areas of academic support, you know, free workshops, etc., and with monitoring of the students, but actually we've invested in providing, you know, neurodivergent screening for those who it's free to all of our students who would like that. Those who might suspect they've never been diagnosed, but they might suspect they need some extra help, we offer that free of charge as an initial screening to assist. So we're really, I can say I'm really proud of that. That we really how we treat those who are most vulnerable or most reticent. It says a lot about us as an organisation.
Sure. Well, we'll give the website address for people to peruse a little bit more what you've been sharing thus far, Keith. Leaders often find that past experiences prepare them for what God has in the present. Has this been the case for you?
Oh gosh, you know, yeah, isn't it the case? I mean, I'm sure you've got testimony as well, Andy. You know, every chapter, you know, to be honest, even the challenging ones, even the ones where you think, oh, I'd rather not have gone through that chapter. Actually, I remember reading a book once by J. Oswald Sanders called Men from God's School. And it was studies in scripture on the characters of Moses and Abraham, etc., etc. And really seeing how different chapters in their lives were chapters in God's school to prepare them for their future ministry or for their next step in their next chapter of ministry. And I absolutely, 100%, you know, being a principal of the academy is a great privilege, but I can see every step of the way how the Lord has just prepared that and really helped me to do what I do today. And that's what, and it's a real sort of celebration of His providence.
Sure.
And so I would encourage anyone out there, is just every chapter is never wasted. God can redeem that and as we make ourselves available to Him.
Excellent. And you spoke a little earlier that you moved out of industry into charity-based work. Could you just remind listeners of where you used to be, what you used to be involved with?
Oh, so yeah, well, I mean, I left school very briefly. I left school, I joined the military, Royal Navy. That was challenging with all sorts of conflicts there and everything else, and as a young Christian as well. So that was, and then I went into industry and shipbuilding and various senior management roles until the age of about 40. And then, I laugh because by the time I normally get to the end of this, people think I'm about 175 years old. But I'm not, there's just a lot has happened. But I went from industry. I was with my wife and I were members of a church in Portsmouth. We'd been the members for 17 years, and then we went on staff there. My first paid role, if you want, being paid to be a Christian, if you like, was as a community pastor, and I was there 6 years doing that. But then felt called to be a teaching pastor. It wasn't promotion. It was just felt the Lord put a passion in my heart to teach scripture. So I became a minister in Coventry for 12 years. And at that time, alongside that for a day a week, I got involved in Bible college education in a college in Birmingham. And then later in 2021 in Waverley Abbey. and then which I, they brought me in to develop their chaplaincy course. And then since then, with this wonderful new challenge, with a great new vision that Urban Saints have, I couldn't resist it. And so now, yeah, it's what a privilege it is. And I'm so excited that, you know, I'm part of Urban Saints. Westbrook Academy isn't Urban Saints. They provide it. They've got four streams. We've got the great connection with the past, with the Westbrook Centre. It's still operating, still face-to-face youth ministry in that sense. And so people, it's on the growing, it's growing. People can book the Westbrook Centre still, which is many crusaders have got fond memories of that changing their life. But we also have the three other areas of training, which I oversee, and then resources, including the Energize that has been going for quite a long time, and then community. We want to build communities of youth workers and leaders and others who can connect across the UK and beyond. So it's an exciting time to be part of Urban Saints.
That's super, Keith. And you very humbly overlooked the fact that you're a doctor, Keith Foster. What was your doctorate in?
So it's in theology. So you know, all my sort of all my degrees, that doesn't sound very humble, but my undergrad was in sort of systematic theology with London School of Theology. Then I did missional theology with For Mission, and then I did a Doctor of Theology with Roehampton University. But the main focus of that actually was researching how cafe space run by Christians it could be developed for faith-based conversations. So I actually studied two cafes and who had this objective of actually sharing Jesus in their cafe space, and how did they do that? And I wrote a doctorate about it.
Fair enough. Well, it's the concept of third space, isn't it? The that
Yes.
you typically live one place, work another, but there's a third space which often you need to create, and certainly servants of God ideally look to have that place where Christians, non-believers meet, I guess. So it's fantastic. The longer term plans for the academy, Keith?
Yeah. I mean, to focus. I mean, the good news is because you know we can pivot quite quickly. So good market research, looking at what people need, seeing what's working. We currently have the three premium courses and around six short courses developing all the time. Do you know that one of the big visions at the moment? I mentioned the additional needs earlier on, and we've been experts in that area for a long time with the work of Mark Arnold. Is that we'd love to see every church, every organization that really takes this seriously, have an additional needs champion who can really look out for the whole range of additional needs who are accessing our churches, who might find it difficult to worship, difficult to access the space, et cetera, et cetera. And we've created this amazing accredited 8-session additional needs practitioner course. You will get a certificate. You will be an additional needs practitioner at the end of it. But not only created it for live cohorts, which people can come on and enjoy, but actually as a self-paced version, so people can do it in their own time. I'm really proud of that, and we want to develop much more what I call practical. Actually, this is needed, keeping our ear to the ground on some great research produced by other organizations like Youthscape, etc., and listening to this research and listening to our students and others and saying, right, how can we respond to the changing market, if you want, but as the Spirit of God really leads his church into his kingdom plan. So we want to be at the forefront of equipping God's people for works of service in that space.
Sounds fantastic, Keith. The website that people need to go to find out more.
Yeah, it's www.urbansaints.org. If you put a forward slash academy on that, you'll come straight to the academy pages, but you can get across our all of the four regions of training, resources, community, and the Westbrook Centre on www.urbansaints.org. But yes, have a good look around. It's changing all the time. There are some free resources to download as well. I mean, it can't beat that. That's fantastic. There's some great community, free community gatherings on Zoom and all sorts of places. It's all on the website. Have a good look. We've even got free webinars as well from training. Gosh, I've mentioned the word free a lot. So that's good. We want people to have a good look at us, have a chat to us first. And then we'd love to be able to journey with them as they go forward in the way that the Lord's called them to do in their sphere of influence.
Keith, you're a great advocate for the work, so thank you for your enthusiasm and for all that you've shared with us. Much appreciated.
It's a total pleasure. Thanks for the invite, Andy. Really appreciate it.
It was a joy to chat with Dr. Keith Foster of the Westbrook Academy. He's the principle. And again, the website, if you wanted to follow up on anything you chatted about, is urbansaints.org. And an example of a charity that's had to pivot. Here's a charity that wasn't just changing its name from Crusaders and Urban Saints back in 2007, but has also kept its eye on the pulse of what's needed and has also transitioned its activities there in 2024. So a great example of the need to reevaluate what they're doing. And although numbers aren't always the only indicator of what's working and what's not working, certainly when people are no longer doing things that they used to be doing or involved in the way they used to be involved, or indeed if we're a church attending in the way they used to attend, then it is time to examine what we're doing and ask the questions, well, maybe it's time to move on and do something fresh. The Lord always leads us on, doesn't he, into exciting and new ventures. So this is Andy Beck, your host, thanking you for your company and looking forward very much to the next time.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.